Last episode we were here, there's still heaps to talk about. I just need to find Andrew.
So for people who don't know, so this is a hop cone, I'm going to pull this one off here. What's in there that makes it important for us brewers?
When you break it open, there's this yellow stuff inside. And sometimes laymen just say it's like a pollen, but it's called lupulin. So lupulin is what brewers use for bittering,
yep.
The alpha acids, and then the acids and oils for aroma and flavor. If you add like whole cone, dried, or even pelletized or cryo, like all the secondary yep. products, if you add it at the hot side of the brewing process, it's called isomerization of alpha acids, and that sort of basically enables the human palate to sort of experience it as bitterness. So it's the bittering potential, yep. the amount of alpha acid in the cone. And then if you're adding it later in the process, like at whirlpool or during fermentation cold side, it's called dry hopping, and that's adding more aroma and flavour.
Have you had your hops tested?
Yeah.
So your alpha acids and your betas and yep. cohumulones and all of those
yep.
sort of cool things?
Yeah. Initially, for the first few years, we didn't. We were just really small scale.
Yeah.
And the first commercial harvest was January 2019, where we actually started selling. For that harvest, we had no results, but we took samples at that harvest. And we worked out there's limited options for testing in Australia, and it's really expensive.
Yep.
There are just dozens of labs in the US. So we dry samples, air freight them to the US, and it's much cheaper to get them analyzed there. So our basic analysis is acid levels and total oil, and that might be $50 US per sample. But then you can do a total oil breakdown where they analyze the major oil components and give you that breakdown
yeah, okay.
as well, and that's more like 100 US.
Yeah.
So every season at a minimum now we try and do at least acids and total oil
yep.
so that we can tell our brewers, like, we're selling you these
sort
hops
where you're
fresh
at.
But historically, these are the levels you're looking at. So normally we're kind of on spec with traditional growing regions, sometimes a bit lower, and sometimes like our Cascade, and it's the same with a lot of the small growers we've been comparing notes, our Cascade throws higher alphas than normal. So that could be terroir.
Yeah.
You know, we're not quite sure why yep. that's the case.
Do you dry them at all, semi-dry them, or with the brewers that you supply these hops to, do you just pick them and the brewers come here, get them fresh and they're ready to go, use them
pretty much
straight away?
Mostly fresh. Our business model is we want to just mainly offer fresh hops for harvest ales.
Yep.
So twice a year, if brewers buy off us, they can make a harvest ale
yep.
with whole cone green hops. We do dry for some orders. We actually prefer not to. It's
yep.
much easier for us to just line up with the brewer. We're going to pick your hops on what day do you want it, okay, come in the afternoon and we'll have you 10 or 20 kilos.
Yep.
And then they might say, oh, we want a cold side addition as well. And it's like, okay, a week later we'll pick again. We just put the whole fresh cones in big onion bags, about
yep.
4 or 5 kilos per bag, and away it goes. Like I said, we can dry it down. We have a shipping container down the back just with fans.
Yep.
So it's very rudimentary. And as long as it's not raining and it's not too humid,
yep.
we can normally dry it down within about 24 hours.
Yeah, okay.
And then we just have like off-the-shelf vacuum sealers
yeah.
that we do, you know, small bags. But that's more labor intensive and we make less money off that.
Yeah.
Like
yep.
we make sort of virtually no money
yeah,
as
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
So the less handling we can do.
Comes back to you being, it's a passion.
Right? Yeah, it's a passion. Like for a number of years, every year we've just put in more of our own money to
yep.
prop up this hobby. Like last year was the first year where we haven't put in more of our own money. We've been able with the proceeds and the hops to cover our own overheads
yep.
last year and this year.
Yeah, okay.
So we've never paid ourselves a wage.
Yep.
So it does worry me a little bit when some of the small backyard growers say we're gonna go commercial, because the reality is it's very hard to
yeah.
make money off hops. And like, it's only, I think, if you're at the sort of scale of someone like HPA and you've got proprietary varieties,
yep.
You know that it's has potential to
yeah
make.
And also it's that small little window of a year where you can make money, because that's when the hops are ready and when
yeah.
they're growing
yeah
because the whole time while they're growing and that, you're just sitting here waiting.
It's just money going out the door. Yeah. Like all through the year, it's money out. And then, yeah, you get your harvest window. I mean, commercial farms, obviously, they're pelletizing and storing.
Yeah.
So they're making sales throughout the course of the yep. year.
Yeah, they're contracted out as well.
Yeah, yeah, but for most little yards, it's like, okay, we've harvested, we've sold it all within a month. That's the money we've got. Okay, now we're start outlaying again for the rest of the year. Somebody asked me once, oh, would you guys expand and would you go more commercial? And at some point we might, as continuing the hobby, get some land and
yep.
put in an acre or two.
The scaling up comes with its own challenges too, because you need more feet on the ground unless you've got tractors and that to do all your...
Yeah.
All of that sort of stuff and maintenance.
Lots of overheads.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of infrastructure requirements, like, tractor and slasher, boom spraying equipment. We imported a small secondhand harvester from the US a few years ago. That really revolutionised our yard, because up until that point we'd been relying on the goodwill of brewers and their staff to come out and hand pick with us. Depending on the size of the cones, like here, the average a person could pick per hour was only about a kilo an hour, which is pretty slow. So just Steve and I and maybe one mate on the harvester, we can probably do about 10 kilos an hour, which is really spread it up. But if we did a couple of acres, it'd just, we do less manual work because you do a lot more tractor-based work.
Yeah.
But if we stick with this harvester, you would still have a lot of manual feeding of the bines through the harvester. That would still take a while.
You're talking about just about harvesting then. How do you harvest? Do you cut the rope or do you cut the bine? Do you just cut the top bits where a lot of the cones are? Where do you...
It's a lot of manual work in this yard, in a commercial yard. They've got bottom cutters that go along and cut the bottom of the bines off, and then the top cutter comes along on a tractor and cuts the top off, and the bines will fall into a trailer that gets going, goes back to the shed. Here we do everything by hand. So we will have like a pool cleaning extension pole with a cutter on the end, a little sawer. So we saw off the top of the plant, so physically drop it. Just use secateurs to cut off the bottom, and then we carry like a wheelbarrow full of plants up to our little mini harvester, and then we start feeding the bines through the first stage, which is picking fingers, and it's a roller with wire loops on it, and the wire loops strip the cones and some of the leaves off. The cones then fall through to the second stage, which is called a trommel, like a 44-gallon drum that's perforated, and so some of the leaves are caught and go one way and the cones fall down another way. And the third phase is air separation, so it's like a fly screen or mesh conveyor that's constantly rolling uphill with fans under it sucking down. So the theory is the leaves fall on the conveyor and go out one way and the cones roll down the other way. A very basic mechanical separation.
Yeah, right.
But still lots of manual stuff to do, but way quicker than hand picking.
Yep.
So it's one of the simplest little manual harvesters you can get. And for our scale, it's pretty perfect.
What do you like to drink? What beers started making you go, you know what, I want to know the before process, like the hops?
I mean, from way back when I was a kid, growing up in Brisbane, my dad drank 4X and Brisbane Bitter.
Yep.
So my earliest memory of beer is Dad giving me a sip of Brisbane Bitter and me saying, that tastes terrible, Dad. And he said, yes, I know, son, but it makes you feel good. But as I grew up and went to uni, we moved on from Queensland beer to oh my God, there's Tooheys from south of the border, and there's VB, and there's Tooheys Older Brown Ale. And then, back in the day, it was Redback, a wheat beer from WA, and Little Creatures Pale Ale and things like this, and then James Squire's Golden Ale. So I remember discovering all of those beers and going, oh, I really like beer. I've travelled a lot for holidays around the world, and every time I go to different countries, I spent a lot of time in Mexico years ago discovering all the beers they had there. I moved up to Cairns from Brisbane for 15 years, and then I moved back around 2013. And a lot of my mates in Brisbane had gotten into craft beer. And so I'd been enjoying different kinds of pale ales and things in Cairns, but I started going out with them. And that was when I really got into it in a bigger way. And same with Steve. We were going to tap takeovers for, imported kegs from all over the world and just really getting into it. We generally prefer just a nice cleansing hoppy pale ale. I like all types of beer, at different times of the year. And it different stages. Like I like brown ales or stouts. Yep. I love IPAs. I really like sours as a palate cleansing yep. beer. I love farmhouse ales.
Oh yeah.
Flanders red ales is really
yeah.
a style
yep.
I like. So a bit of everything. Like I like every now and then buying a carton of mixed bottles from Topher, Wildflower yep. in Sydney. Yep. Will at Van Diemen Brewing near Launceston, yep. he does some really nice farm of origin sort of beers. Some of them all in
Joel and I actually awarded one of his beers, The Paddock. On our awards, we do an awards every
oh, yeah.
year, and well, we say we do. We've done it once,
yeah,
because we're a new podcast. But his was one of our sour beer of the year.
Okay,
last year. So
he makes a few that are so delicious. Like he does a normal core range, but he does that spontaneous ferment stuff as well. When I was in Tasmania, I visited him twice,
yep.
once at the start of the trip, and I took away a swag of beers in yeah. the van to drink, and then I went back at the end and bought some more before I came back to the
yeah.
mainland. Yeah, like I've got a lot of respect for Will. He's on his dad's farm, and they grow some of their own barley, and he's got his own hop yard and
yep.
a brewery on farm. Like maximum respect.
Yeah.
And 2 meter tall brewing also do
oh,
that
yeah.
sort of spontaneous ferment stuff. And they're quite close to HPA at Bushy Park.
Yep.
So I visited them a few times as
oh,
well.
Oh yeah, nice.
They make some good beers.
Do you homebrew?
No, not now. Like both Steve and I, back in uni days, we did the Brigalow and Cooper's
oh,
kits,
yeah, yep.
you know, just using the malt syrup and
yep.
fermenting like that. We've never done any all-grain brewing.
Yep.
We have mates that do all-grain brewing from scratch,
yep.
guys from work, and some people can make some really nice beers, like other people can be a little bit hit and miss. But yeah, we decided the brewing's too hard to get it really well done, but this is a bit of a novelty, nobody else is doing
yeah.
it, so let's do this. And we love the challenge. The fact that quite a few people, when we told them what we were doing, said you can't grow hops in Queensland, and we're like, no, we can, and we'll do it, and we'll
yeah.
prove you wrong.
We'll prove you wrong. Yeah, nice. Well, proof's in the pudding. All right, Andrew, mate, well, thanks heaps for letting us come on your farm and sit in your hop and ruin a few cones and yeah, have a great chat. It's been awesome. Thanks very much.
No problem, man.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Looking forward to tasting some of the beers where your hops go.
And I can let you know when they come out.
Yeah,
sure.
Hopefully I can drink them then, because yeah, we'll see how we go.
No worries.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.